Hello, good people, and welcome to episode 2 of season 6 of the Brunswick Beer Collective. Yes, it's true, we are still the Brunswick Beer Collective, and it is still season 6. So, as per usual, I'm Chris Shorten, with me is Paul Christoph.
Hello.
And our special guest host this week is Ben Wilson.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so we are obviously at the Ale House, the ancestral home. It is pouring down rain, but none of that matters right now. Because right now, we need to give a more important update. I've just finished week 1 of Untapped. Untapped, you hear me? Untapped. And, alright, so let me give you, since that we started on this thing.
Zero check-ins, zero badges at the beginning of last week's episode.
I now have a grand total of, let's see, I've checked in 23 beers. Some of them were samples. And I have, which we'll get to us in a second, but I now have 20 different badges.
It's almost a badge of beer.
I know. And it does make me sort of wonder whether it's, you know, whether it's just trying to, you know, buddy up to me, you know. You know how when you go somewhere and, you know, you get that introductory offer or something? Yeah. I feel like that's what all of these are.
Well, if you'd taken photos of all those beers, you would have even...
Well, you know my view on taking 24? Photos of beers.
It'll just take photos of anything.
Exactly. It'll just be endless selfies of me for no apparent reason. But so week 1 of Untapped. So I want to mention something that is Ben and I were out for a beer on last Thursday, I think, and it really. So I'm still getting into the habit of checking things in, but I suppose what I found really irritating, I guess, was the fact that I felt really antisocial when I was doing it. It's sort of like, you know, I had to do something else on my phone while I was doing it, and prior to it, and so I was ignoring Ben, and then suddenly it was like, oh wait, and then Ben goes, have you checked in your beer? And it's like, fuck, I haven't checked in my beer either.
Well, that happens a lot, you know. So you get your phone out to check your beer, and you're like, oh, and then you'll end up doing other stuff for 5 minutes on your phone. Then you put your phone away, fuck, didn't check the beer in.
And it just felt really, really antisocial. I mean, granted, you know, I've checked in 23 distinct beers.
But have you seen their underneath their logo what it says?
Drink socially. I know. Look, that would work really well if I had someone else who could wander around checking the beers for me. But these are definitely a first world problem, or alternatively, I'm drinking too much.
That's when you know you've made it. Jeez, check my beer in for me.
Look, a man's got to have dreams, right? But, yes. So, first, week 1 of Untapped, strangely antisocial for something that says drink socially. But, you know, I have got 20 badges, and that looks really cool.
It does.
You could do what I usually do, which is wake up in the morning, and then have not checked any of the beers in, look at Paul's Untapped, or Jeff's. I can do it with yours now. And then I go, I think I had that. Yeah, we'll check that in. Yeah.
That looks about right. Well, I mean,
so, yeah, it's hard then though to give it a proper rating.
Well, that's true. The one thing
3.5.
Yeah, exactly. If you're unsure, just go the Christoph scale.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I am trying to do though is I'm trying to put comments on everything, because I feel like given the amount of time that we all spend,
I remember when we used to do that. back in the day.
Like, you know, bits like, you know, the Red Velvet from Stomping Ground. Not quite what David Lynch would want, but still a damn fine beer. As in, you know, David Lynch's classic Blue Velvet film. I feel like that is kind of the challenge for me now.
And you're creating enjoyment for other people. Exactly. There might be another podcast looking at, what did someone say about this beer?
Exactly.
Ooh, David Lynch reference. Amazing.
See, I'm hoping there'll be a film-based beer podcast that will just be looking at Untapped reviews going, oh yeah, that's a really quality, you know, David Lynch book.
Well, there's Reed in your name, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knows?
The Reed beer on?
Looks like the Roger.
Roger.
Anyway, we should move on to bigger things. Now, the first thing, so we mentioned we're at the Ale House. The Ale House is really important, specifically because it is Hopfest 29 this week and next week or whatever. Okay, I know it's not 29. I don't know what number it is.
Come on, get it right.
But it is a hop fest is all you need to know.
Yes, exactly. So,
Festival of the Hop.
Yeah, does anyone know much about Hop Fest this year?
2 weeks of hoppy beers. It's really all there is to know. There will be one-offs, there'll be collaborations.
they'll be doing the usual rotation on the weekend.
Right.
There'll be random beers going on throughout the week. So every day there'll be something new.
All Australian and New Zealand, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
All of those things sound like things that we would probably want to do. And let's be honest, we probably will be doing. Right. At some point or another. So, that is Hopfest. But let's talk about what we've been up to. Because over on the weekend, we decided that... So, Melbourne is home. It seems to a lot... It seems like it's all happened recently. But this idea, this amount of breweries that have popped up inside the south of Melbourne. Like the south of the south. So, like by the beach, that sort of way.
As south as you get before you're no longer in Melbourne.
Exactly. So... Ben had the very, very bright idea of maybe touring those. And this tour isn't for the faint of heart. It involves a lot of, well, basically public transport alternatives.
Planes, trains and automobiles.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly. If only we had a plane. Actually, that would have made things a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
Because our journey started at Dainton.
Well, actually started at Young and Jackson's.
Oh, that's true.
Which is actually a good point. Yes. As we were saying, it's underrated as a craft beer venue.
It's very true. I mean, when I walked in there, which was about 10:30 in the morning, I purposely thought, all right, I will be having some sort of, you know, it'll be either a Carlton Draft or a Little Creatures Pale or something like that. And then what do we end up with?
The carrot. The carrot top?
Yeah.
From Moondog.
Moondog's Halloween, one of their Halloween beers.
Which was just sort of, I mean, I'm not sure if it was the right beer for 10:30 in the morning.
Any beer is the right beer.
Exactly. Yeah, that is a big question. Is there something that defines a 10:30 in the morning beer? Probably not.
Breakfast stout, I suppose.
Yeah, Doppelbock, maybe.
There was that time in San Diego when Jeff and I had both our bottles of our Founders, 2015 and 2016 KBS. That was a good breakfast.
So, all right, so...
Especially since I woke up saying I'm not going to drink all day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was really going to work. Yeah.
Lasted all.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to. I expected it would last a couple of hours until at least after midday, but... Breakfast had to be consumed.
Dedication? Nah, not really. So, we started off, after Young and Jackson, we started off at Dainton.
Yes, we did.
After a long train ride.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a very long train ride, but it was... train ride and an Uber. No.
With no tea.
No tea. Definitely no tea.
No tea.
So, Dainton. Dainton was cool. And, I mean, although it was hilarious that one of our friends managed to get a Bad Shepherd beer while on, which was on tap at Dainton instead of getting a Dainton beer.
Not realising that Bad Shepherd was a venue on the tour.
Exactly.
Later on.
I thought that was entertaining.
It was good. The beers were good.
Space is great.
Hmm?
Hopefully they'll be able to use the outdoor area of the car park potentially.
Well, this is
what
we found with all the venues we went to. Yeah. None of them had their licenses approved for the outdoor venues. Given that they're all in warehouses and industrial areas, it seems
foolish. It seems like a no-brainer, really. Right. But that never quite made sense, did it?
No, it will happen. It always does, but it'll take. Well, in the case of our second venue, Boat Rocker,
they'd
already been waiting a year for their license to be approved.
That's true,
and that's the thing. We're inside a warehouse essentially, drinking beer, and we're staring outside, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and
yeah, I know.
The guy who owned it, I assumed he was one of the owners of the brewers. We didn't actually get his name.
Look, if he wasn't one of the owners, he was damn talkative.
Yeah, he's very passionate about what he's doing. But he was saying, a year, and they've just the council says no.
And of course,
like, why there is
cancer says nothing. That's more.
Cancer says nothing. Like I said, it will happen.
Yeah,
it will eventually be a yes.
But sorry, go.
I was going to say, well, it was the same for Temple just down the road.
Yeah,
They waited for forever for theirs, and once you actually get that, it totally transforms the space. Like it's a totally different area now when you go into Temple, and it's
well, you want to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas before, it was
it was very industrial.
Yeah,
right. Although I should flag, and this is the there's one very important thing that was at Boat Rocker, but there's a very big similarity between Dainton and Boat Rocker Brewery, and I think we need to flag it because it's a very big thing.
What is that?
they both had the beer kegs for urinals.
Yes.
Male urinals, obviously. We didn't check the female ones. But that was... Because they're both really well fit out with, like, proper shop fittings. But in both cases, you walked in and was like, oh, this looks familiar.
Wait a minute.
I've seen this before.
Speaking of barrels, how impressive was the... I mean, it is a barrel room at Boat Rocker.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Literally hundreds of barrels full of beer.
Yeah, because our Uber dropped us off, or wanted to drop us off...
At the brewery,
and then we're sort of looking out the window, and the poor guy's just wondering what the hell's going on, and we're looking out the window and just sort of like trying to see, and we can just see this cardboard sign. I think it's cardboard, or at least it was definitely handwritten, that was on was attached to the top of the fence, and it just sort of said barrel room at 34, and it's like,
and the brewery's number 46 or
And so then that we went around the tiny court that it's in and turned back the other way, and then it was like, oh, there it is, which totally worth finding.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was very good. And then what's that?
Well, the number of beers, like, so Dayton had a fair few. I suppose they're still relatively new. I think they had about six of their own beers on, and then a fair few guest taps.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Boat Rocker, the Bad Shepherd, you walk in, there was would have been like 15 plus beers, their own beers on tap.
Yeah, and then that bottle list
was amazing.
The really interesting bottles that they're doing, the Belgian lambics and stuff.
And they had, what was it? They had the lab, which was the red lambic one. What you said. They of course had the Ramjet coffee, which was
amazing.
Superb.
Amazing.
And look, I didn't even... I mean, that's a problem when you go to a brewery, especially. You don't necessarily want to be drinking the beers that don't come from that brewery because, well, you've come a long way for this.
Exactly.
Right.
And the problem is that with our tour, we had limited time in each. In the first place, there wasn't such an issue. But when we were at Boat Rocker, I did find myself trying to, like, get through as many as I could and potentially not appreciating them as much as I should.
No, no.
That's like when you got your second round, it's like you had three there. It's like, we're leaving in like 10 minutes, aren't we? It's like, yeah.
Like, maybe, yeah.
But I wanted them.
I got to remember, we can go back.
But no, that was... I was impressed with both places. Yeah.
And then afterwards was...
Bad Shepherd.
Bad Shepherd / Wolf of the Willows.
Well, was that also Wolf of the Willows as well? So I mean, they had a lot of Wolf of the Willows.
So I'm guessing they must brew in there, because half the taps were... Well, not literally half, but... Yeah, the sign sort of said Wolf of the Willows as well, so I'm guessing they must brew out of there.
Yeah, okay.
And also West City, their OT stout is brewed there. So they do the IPA out of Kaiju.
Yes, that's right.
And the stout out of Bad Shepherd. Yeah. So it is Bad Shepherd's equipment, but... Yeah, that was really cool as well. That had really got some seating outside, and there was a really impressive selection of food.
But I mean, the urinals weren't kegs, which was frustrating. Yeah. I think
they could fix that though.
Yeah. I mean, there's still time to sort this out, Bad Shepherd.
Scotty Beerface.
Yeah, Scotty. We trust you. We believe in you. So, but yeah, Bad Shepherd was good, Bad Shepherd was good, I think, because I know it's quite a new beer. Oh, sorry, new brewery, I suppose. To the point where we had Scott on, was it last year? Was it earlier this year, where he was talking about...
Yeah, I wasn't...
Oh, yeah, you weren't...
When I was in London, I think.
So, earlier this year, then. And he was talking about how pretty much it's just, you know, it's a big thing and it's come out of nowhere. They were very mature sort of beers. Not in terms of, like, their age, but the fact that I feel like brand new breweries, they do go through a phase where they're kind of... They start out as being, they'll just try favourable things of everything before they start to experiment. But I felt like Bad Shepherd were really well balanced.
The Hazelnut Brown was fantastic. Mm. Yeah. The banana chocolate one was just, that was
amazing.
Interesting. It was really good.
Beer. Mm. It was one that you expect to get Gabs or somewhere like that.
Mm.
But so, really cool. So Bad Shepherd was cool. But I mean, and by the way, if anyone from like one of the brewery tour companies is listening to this, it was a lot of work to organise Ubers, cabs, whatever, to get to all these places. So we wholeheartedly support what you guys do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to organise maxi taxis and things like that don't turn up and then call you half an hour later saying, where are you?
It's like, well, you weren't there when we ordered you. But
then we realised that there was another brewery that
just
didn't even know
Bad
was in the area.
And that was Two Brothers.
Two Brothers, which we obviously know of. Mm. And Moorabbin.
Yep.
So we know of Two Brothers, and we know they're in Moorabbin.
Mm. I guess Moorabbin's right near Cheltenham.
I guess they've been there probably longer than any of the other ones. Yeah. But we just didn't, for some reason, think about it.
And I was going to say they definitely had the right to a liquor license.
Yeah, we were there, and it was like, well, that's a 9-minute drive away. So.
Yeah. And that was superb.
That was really cool as well.
It's a great spot. The only thing I found interesting with Two Brothers was, for a brewery, you go to a brewery and you expect to be able to get a paddle to try all their beers so you can showcase everything. Mm. And I don't know whether it was because it was half an hour before they were closing, but I did ask about paddles and they said they didn't do them. So that was quite strange.
That is unusual.
Yeah. But I guess they must have their reasons.
True.
I don't think there's ever a good reason to not do a tasting paddle.
Yeah.
Well, especially for a brewery. Similar discussion before, where it's just there's no... Or when some places have had certain things, it's just... Nah, it's a... Well, Boat Rocker had the best option. It was just...
Yeah.
But they had paddles that fit three, but there wasn't actually a, like, rule or a paddle. No. It was just each beer you can get as a taster.
Yeah.
And it's much better. Like, you know, at the first... At Dayton, you know, I was like, I had the four beers to start with, and then there was, like, two more that I wanted to try. And so I was like shopping around trying to get someone to go in with me. Oh, who wants like two more?
Oh, that's right.
You know, so I could try the other two. But when you're Boat Rocker, I was just like, okay, I want one more. I'll go have the coffee ramjet.
I'll just have four more ramjets. That's all I want.
It's more flexibility. It's I mentioned, you know, when we're in the States, a lot of even the craft beer bars do that. Just all the beers you can get in taster size. Like, yeah, they'll do a token paddle. And another thing, which I think we raise that I don't know why people don't seem to do that in Australia is hand over a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
So type in the four or five beers you want and we'll bring them to you and we'll put them on the paddle in the order that you've written down on the paper. Or if we think it's there's a better order, we'll change it. But you know what you're drinking.
Yeah. Like gabs.
You get your paddle and then you get to your table and you're like, okay, they told me, but I don't know which one's which anymore. Like, I can probably guess it by tasting, but it'd be nice if it was just bang, bang, bang.
I had that issue at the next venue, the Stomach Ground. I had no idea what I was drinking. Yeah. Like, I had three light beers that all looked very similar, and they didn't actually tell me which order it went in. So I kind of got back to the table, and I was like, I think I'm having this one.
Yeah, it's a very it's a very simple thing.
Yeah,
these are all very simple things, but if somebody were to do all these things, it would be...
mystical.
Amazing.
However, the coffee voodoo porter was excellent. Yes. Two Brothers.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was the gold, was the gold something?
The gold eye or something? Mm. The gold something, yeah.
That was wow.
Right. Yeah, good work, Two Brothers.
And segueing into, Stomping Ground.
Mm. Which is definitely the new kid on the block.
Yeah, well, you can read about it on the City Lane.
Exactly.
Impressive space, it's huge. Yeah,
it's fantastic space.
It's a barn.
Wasn't our first time there.
No.
It was mine.
That was yours, yeah.
But I feel like Paul has brought this up as well, but getting service is kind of hilarious.
It's like the old nightclub days.
Yeah.
I actually one of the guys from Trivia was there and I've been waiting for ages and he just sort of rocked up and like stood at the bar and then straight away they served him and I was like reaching across the bar, no, this is me, pick me. And luckily I knew the person, otherwise it would have been a bit rude, but I suppose that's the problem with having such a large bar area, is that it's hard to then service the whole area and serving people in the right order.
And I don't think they expected that that would have been this busy.
No.
We're talking, you know, there's lines like three, four people deep to get drinks.
It's pretty extreme.
It's a really cool space.
Yeah, still early days. Yeah, so there's plenty of time to fix all that stuff.
I was saying, I've been there four times already. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll be going back.
It's a fantastic space. Yeah. It's,
Obviously, we'll keep give ourselves more time next time, so we'll get served. And then we'll buy up like 20 beers in advance because, you know, once you've got someone's attention, you have to go all the way.
Yeah.
So that was our tour. I got to say, it does to have so many of these like really cool sort of breweries just appearing pretty much everywhere. Okay, so Two Brothers didn't just appear, but you get what I mean. It's really heartening. It's really good. But
it's turning into a really little cool pocket down there.
Right. So highlights, people.
And we should probably mention for those who aren't aware, though most would be aware, that Stomping Ground isn't down in that part of town. That's in Collingwood.
Yes, yes.
And I guess most of our listeners would be aware of that, but yeah. In case you're brewery openings.
In case that you haven't quite meticulously worked it out on a map like we have.
That was an on the way back.
That because, you know, we're all Northsiders. Brunswick, to be specific.
Yep.
Almost collective of Brunswick. So, all right, what are our highlights, people?
Boat Rocker.
Yeah. I was going to say, the beer's a Boat Rocker. Probably the best space. I really like Dainton. I reckon if they had an outdoor area, that brewery would be amazing. But beer-wise, for sure, it was Boat Rocker.
Yeah. Depends if we include Stomping Ground.
Look,
definitely the best
from the
space.
From the south.
I think that's probably the best space of any brewery in Melbourne.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
But yeah, of those, I agree with you, probably Dainton. It just had that... Felt like kind of bigger version of someone's backyard / shed.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. In a really good way.
So, we should move on and actually drink some more beer. And we are on to beer number one. And beer number one is, okay, we spent a bit of time standing at the bar trying to work out what the hell beer number one was going to be. We thought there were like a few broken pool cues, but we decided on what?
The Peanut Brittle Goes A Fight by Bacchus Brewing.
Which is, you just got to be curious just in itself for that.
Oh, just the smell of it, it's like...
Well, you know, you see Bacchus and you know, they've proven that their beers tend to taste like what they say they're meant to taste like.
And holy crap.
Do go out there when they do those flavours. And this is no exception.
I mean, that's quite beautiful.
It's peanut brittle.
Right. Although, I'm going to flag this right from the beginning. It's peanut brittle. Does it taste like a Gozer?
No, not at all.
Not really.
It's just like peanut brittle that you assume is definitely going to be a beer.
It's packed with flavour for a 4.7% beer. It's packs a punch.
No, it's really quite beautiful.
Oh, well, I got a Gozer badge for it, so.
Hey.
Anyway, what are people saying about it?
So I'm going to read out this one because I just think it's cool. From Rob P at Hart's Pub, it's like a sports drink, snack, and dessert all in one beer.
Michael D at the Ale House. Wow, can see why this beer got number one at Gabs.
I didn't know it got number one at Gabs.
Maybe it was the Brisbane Gabs.
Good point. There are more than one Gabs. And a lot of these check-ins are from Hart's Pub. Wherever Hart's Pub is.
Don't know.
Sydney.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah,
the Rocks.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, it is. I've got the rooftop. The multiple levels here.
Hmm.
Richard saying it tastes like caramel peanut ice cream.
It's a good call.
Checks out.
Brendan C at the Noble Hops. Where's the Noble Hops? Is that the one in Redfern?
That's the one, yes.
That
that's
we
the one
haven't
we're
been
going
to?
To go
yeah.
To. Yeah.
wow, so much going on in this beer. Peanut, savoury, counteracts the malt and melds so well with the salty Gozer base beer. I guess that's probably the interesting thing, isn't it? I guess the Gozer element, does have that salty. Mm. Does have that salty element to it.
Hmm.
An interesting comment here. Bacchus Double Black IPA is a good beer. Not really drinking that beer, but
no.
I'll take your word for it.
And earn the game at 2.25.
It's a very astute, if incredibly inaccurate, statement. Yes. I quite like the just simple from Liam C. Also at the Noble Hops. Unreal. So damn good. I mean, I think it should have
Would you see the comments for that comment?
Yeah, so I was just reading it.
So basically, he hated the beer, so that was the comment in that he hated this beer but likes their double IPA.
It's a bit more sense now.
Yeah, it's a nice way of looking at it. All right, people, what do we think about this?
4.25.
Oh.
Whoa.
Bloody delicious. And it's the kind of flavour that... I like the ice cream comment. Like, yeah, I would could eat this in an ice cream.
Milky, like, sort of flavour through
it. Yeah, I like it. Right. I go for in a beer normally, but yeah, it's a flavour that I go for in general.
I gave it a 4, and it's definitely an awesome beer. I don't think I can have a lot of this. I think after a while,
it's always the case with their flavoured ones.
Yeah,
you couldn't do
definitely
multiples of them.
For one, it's definitely a 4.
I'm having trouble drinking this. I think it's great. I'm just having a lot of trouble drinking it. So I'm going to actually say 3.75. And I feel really bad doing that. However, that I think that makes our average
four. Makes it a four, yep.
However, I will...
You didn't put a comment.
No, because I'll have to add that later, because I want to find out... Oh, I didn't even get a badge for it. That's all I wanted from this.
It's all
just
down
a
here
badge.
From here. It's all down every here. Five beers now for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Clearly the honeymoon is over for badges. Thank you, Untapped. So, we should move on. And we are on to beer number two. And this is... look, I'll be honest. I kind of pushed pretty hard for this one because... All right, it's going to be obvious why. Because
you're a push hard.
Damn right. It is a...
Deckard Pushard.
What is it, people?
It is the Blood Moon Red IPA by Mismatch.
Surprisingly, a lot of beers named Blood Moon.
Hmm. Well, see, I typed in Mismatch first before I typed in Blood Moon.
Also lots of...
of...
results?
Yeah. No, it came up instantly. So,
yeah.
We are on the Blood Moon IPA. So, which is the red IPA. Look, it tastes like a really good red IPA to me.
Very, but, very delicious.
Not bad.
Well, given that I just saw what you rated it, yes, I can understand. I could have guessed that you were going to put say not bad.
So Michael P at the Wheat Sheaf Hotel, which I feel like I've been to before, but I don't know where it is.
Mm.
He said, on par with an ale red ale.
Mm.
Ooh, big claim there.
Gene B from the Royal Oak has put dusky, musky, fugglin, funky for the style. That's it. Looks like a red ale, but handles like a bistro. All the punches up front, no length.
I feel like that's a lot of like pop culture statements crammed into one, but I like it.
I like it. What else we got?
What else are people saying? Paul?
I'm just going through. Well, Mismatch has toasted every single one of these check-ins. So
I've got big expectations.
Good on, them there. Well, a lot of people are having it at NOLA, Adelaide.
Yeah.
In the through the Randall, so it's gone through Cacao Nibs. So the general comment is like Jaffas and Jaffa cakes.
It's not.
So yeah, that's where a lot of the comments are coming from.
Okay. So
this person reckons it is a collaboration with NOLA.
No. Oh.
On
wait, what's NOLA?
On tap. I assume it's some kind of gallery.
Okay, that would make sense.
I'm assuming it's a gallery.
That.
Yeah, on tap collaboration with NOLA, no blood orange, but very tasty. That was the 7th of August.
All right, so what, I mean, I think it's great, but what do we think about this?
Well, I'll go first.
I was going to say, it's a very, very tasty red IPA. I don't think it's out of this world. It's very, like a lot of other red IPAs I've had. But yeah, I think it's very stock standard, and I'd give it probably a 3.75.
That sounds worthy.
Yeah. Well, I was completely wrong. NOLA is actually a New Orleans themed craft beer and whiskey bar.
Oh. So
didn't exist the last time I was in Adelaide. And gives me another reason to want to go back to Adelaide.
Well, I was just going to know a different sort of gallery then. You know, a gallery, maybe a craft beer.
Yeah.
So, I think... Actually, no, I kind of agree. I think I do enjoy it, but I do think it's a 3.75.
So I've given it a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost going to give it a 3.75, so I'm not offended by it getting a group set 3.75. But, I don't know, I think it's that marmalade aftertaste. And I've never personally been a big
you've
fan
always,
of
you've always
maybe.
Been anti-marmalade aftertaste.
I don't know. Something
ever
about
since
the
I've known you.
That's just stopping it from being more than a 3.5 for me. So, you know, 3.5 would drink again. It's delicious, but... Yeah.
All right, well... Yeah, I mean, I'm going 3.75. So I think that's our rating then.
It is.
Yeah.
So we should finish up there. We have been the Brunswick Beer Collective for yet another stupid week. I am Chris
it's
Shorten.
It's the start of the week. Don't call it stupid yet.
Look, I'm just predicting ahead, you know. I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Paul Christoph.
Until next time.
And with me has been Ben Wilson.
Good night.
And we will talk to you all next week.